Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
Bibles to Psalms 32:8. Before I get started, I'd like to thank Pastor and Brother Jesse for giving me the opportunity to preach to you guys tonight. The message I'll be preaching on tonight is seeking God's direction in our lives. In Psalms 32:8, it says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity for me to preach. And please be with me and Isaac as we preach to calm our nerves and to give us the words to say, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I get started on Psalms 32:8, I'd like to explain Psalms 32. That way we can better understand Psalms 32:8. So in verses 1 through 4, it says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned upon into the drought of summer, Selah." So in these verses, it's showing how David, when he kept his sin from God, that it wasn't very pleasant within his heart. And in verse 5, it talks about how he confessed his sin to God. So I'll read that. "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and he forgave us the iniquity of my sin." So he's asking the Lord for forgiveness, and the Lord, like always, forgives us. And then verses 6 and 7. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah." In these two verses, it's talking about how confident David was in God, and that when hard times come, that he would block so the raging waters couldn't get to him. In verses 9, it says, "Be not as a horse or as a mule, which have not understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit or brittle, lest they come near unto thee." In this verse, God is telling us that we need to not be as animals without understanding, and we can find understanding in the Word of God. In verse 10, it says, "Many sorrows shall come to the wicked, but he that trusteth the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." In this verse, it's telling us that if you trust the Lord when hard times come, he will help you through that hard time. But if you don't have an upright heart and you don't trust the Lord, that you will experience many sorrows throughout that time. Now in verse 11 it says, "Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." In this verse, it's telling us how to have true joy, that if we trust the Lord and have an upright heart, he'll help us and give us joy, and he will lead us. Now, verse 8 is what I wanted to focus on, so I'll read that. "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." And as it says, with mine eye, as servants, we need to be able to recognize the smallest of a blink or a movement of the Lord and be able to change it. We shouldn't have to have the Lord have something dramatic to change the sin in our lives. Okay, now to the story. So it's been a while, but there was a certain basketball game last year that I remember very well. So it was about mid-season, and it was, I think, third quarter, and I was a bit nervous, like I am today. And I got past the ball, and I didn't really know what to do, so I started running, and I hear the crowd just cheering me on, saying, go, go, go. But after a little bit, I got to the other side, and I realized no one was by me. So I stopped, and I looked around, noticed my surroundings, and I saw that I was on the wrong side of the court. You'd think I'd stop there and learn from my mistake, but the very next game, same thing. I got past the ball, and I ran in the wrong direction. So basically, I had a streak. In the very next game, no. I stopped right there. And I started going in the right direction. And throughout this time, I kind of learned that sometimes in our lives, we won't get the lesson the first time, and the Lord has to remind us. And also, one more thing, when Brother Farron was yelling at me to stop, also, sometimes the Lord's yelling at us to stop and start going in the right direction, but we continue to go in the wrong direction. We can get so busy day to day that we just start taking control of our lives, and we don't realize that we're going in the wrong direction. Till eventually we look up, notice our surroundings, and we notice that we're going in the wrong direction. Okay, I have 3 points because I'm a Baptist. So number one, we have the roadmap. All directions are given to us in the Bible. If we don't read it, then how are we supposed to know the direction God has already paved for our lives? I don't know who said this, but to know the will of God is to read the Word of God. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If we as Christians can't even trust God, then how are we supposed to know the direction and the will of God that he has already paved for us in our lives? Number two, we need to be aware of our surroundings. There's a lost world all around us, and if our only concern is me and what I'm going to get, how are we going to tell other people about the gospel? God has given us all directions to witness to other people with the gospel. If we just need to follow that direction. Mark 16:15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Whether that's telling a classmate, or telling a coworker, or your neighbor, God has given us all directions. And number three, learn from your mistakes and those around you. To keep going and continuing in your daily walk with the Lord, we must continue to read the Word of God. Because in order to know God's will for our lives, we must read His Word. We also need to ask ourselves if we are on the path to destruction, or if we are going in the right way. If we're going in the wrong way, we need to repent of our sins and ask the Lord daily to guide us like David did. Now, I was new to basketball last year, and I got nervous under pressure out there on the court. Maybe my focus was off or I wasn't paying attention. But we need to make sure that our main focus is always on God and listening to His Word. I don't want to make the same mistake in my life like I did in basketball. I don't want to miss the opportunity to tell others of the gospel that God has given us. And I need to fully trust God's Word to direct me through my life. Thank you.
If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Daniel. Didn't Kai do a good job?
Kai did a great job.
I remember when I was in ninth grade, and I did this for the first time, and I remember the confidence level that I had. And I can tell you it was nowhere close to that. And so I just want to commend Kai. You did a great job, man. It's amazing how smart you are in the Bible, man. I wish I can look back at my time, and when I when I was reading the Bible, and this is some things I didn't get, some things I didn't know. And so it's amazing to me how people can study the Bible. And I know it's been a lot of help. I want to thank Bill Lepper for his Bible class that he has. I've been in, this is my second year in the Bible class doing a New Testament survey. And it's amazing. It truly is. I want to, first of all, thank the church for the opportunity that you've given us teenagers to come up here and show off a little bit of the investment that you've given to us and just show you a little part of that. But I'm not going to talk too long tonight. I'm going to get into my message. If you have Bibles, Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. And it says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then Daniel said unto Melzar, when the prince of the eunuchs had said over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented them in his matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat, and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued even into the first year of King Cyrus." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful day given us today, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to come into your house tonight. Lord, I thank you for the wonderful youth department that you blessed me with, Lord. I pray that you just calm my nerves tonight. Help me speak clearly, Lord. Thank you for everything that's happened tonight, Lord. I pray you just help us to honor and glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about the testimony of Daniel and his friends. And like Kai, I'm a Baptist, so I have 3 points. First point is, I'm going to look back at verse number 8. I kind of think that this is almost one of my life verses, honestly, just because of the message behind it. It says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." It's amazing. I was reading through the book of Daniel a few months ago, actually, and I remember reading this first passage, and I remember we're going to have the team-led service one night, and it's going to happen. This is what I'm going to preach on. I know this is what I decided then and there. I know that's what God wanted me to preach on tonight. And so I was started reading through the book of Daniel, hoping to understand it. And it was just amazing how I looked through the entire book when I read it, and it was amazing the testimony of Daniel. I don't think at one time in this book does it mention any of Daniel's downfalls. That doesn't say that he didn't sin. Of course, he was a sinner. But it was just amazing the testimony that what he did was right. That's what I really want to talk to you about. And I want to talk about, in this scenario, how he was faced with a temptation. It was weird because I can kind of relate to Daniel's situation and the fact that I'm around his age. It was weird. It seemed as though Daniel had no choice but to eat the king's meat and to drink his wine. His parents weren't there to guide him, to counsel him, or to advise him. There was no one to instruct him on what to do. But Daniel knew it was right, and he determined beforehand that he was going to do right. Christians, tonight, you're going to be faced with a lot of temptations in your life. You'll have been faced with temptations in your life. And the greatest way to counter that is to determine before those temptations come that you're going to do right. What you're going to need to determine now what you're going to do in the future. It was in the end of verse 8, he said, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, there's a lot of characters in the Bible that are very bold, and Daniel certainly is one of them. It was amazing how he didn't come off with such boldness as with the prince of the eunuchs. He didn't say, I'm not going to eat this meat, I'm not going to drink this wine, you can't make me do it. No, he said he's not going to eat this, this isn't right, can I please eat something else, can I drink something else? It was amazing the kindness that Daniel showed in that, if you really think about it. It's amazing how Daniel's testimony is. He requested that he might not defile himself with the prince of the eunuchs. God always watches over and provides for those with righteous testimonies. That's my second point. In order for him to even consider their request, verse 9 tells us that God brought Daniel and his friends into favor with the prince of the eunuchs. It wasn't just like, hey, this person's in charge of us, and I should have this respect over this respect for this authority. But this authority had a lot of sympathy, had a relationship with Daniel and his friends. It was kind of a friendship there. And so, if Daniel didn't even have that friendship with him, the prince of the eunuchs probably wouldn't have considered his request. He says, "No, you've been given food. You've been given great food. You're going to eat it, and you're going to drink what we've given you to drink." But because of God put Daniel in a position that he was going to prosper, that he was going to be able to do what was right. Daniel was able to do what was right. It's amazing that God always watches over and provides for those with righteous testimonies. In verse 17, it says, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. All this that Daniel was blessed with because he purposed in his heart and he had the right testimony. Psalm 37, verse 25 says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God never forsakes the righteous. There's a lot of characters in the Bible that I can look on, and I will go to some passages at the end, so there are your fingers. No, I'm just kidding. And my third point, the testimonies of Daniel and his friends were found far better than others. God brought them into favor with not only the prince of the eunuchs, but with the king. They were different than all the other children. They were blessed and gifted. We as Christians are to be different from the world, honoring God and all that he has gifted us and allowed us to do. We as Christians are to refuse the sins and temptations of the world and choose rather to do what is right with what God has given us. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to turn to some other passages. The first one I'm going to turn to is 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verse 18. This is actually, I added on to my message this week because but Jesse preached on this Wednesday night. And it really did stick with me. And it kind of went along with what I was preaching. And so I want to give you a little background before I tell you what's going on here. So Josiah is king. Josiah was 8 years old. If you look in there in verse number 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verse number 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Here again we see another character of the Bible who had a righteous testimony. And I want to look in verse number 18 of 2 Chronicles 34. And it says, Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah, the son of the servant of the king, saying, Go inquire of the Lord for me, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. Well, Jesse gave us 3 points to doing right on Wednesday night. And his first point, it was to read that which was right, or the scripture in this case. It says in verse 18, And Shaphan read it before the king. In order to do right, we must know what's right. And the greatest source of right and wrong is the Bible. And so our first point is that we need to read that which is right. Number two, we need to hear that which is right. In verse 19, it says, And it came to pass that when the king heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. When it says that we should hear that which is right, it's to comprehend and pay attention to it. Another way, when you're doing your devotion, sometimes you may read and not get anything out of it. It might not speak to you. But we should be reading the Bible, and we should be comprehending what God is telling us to do, what God has commanded us to do. And for that, we need to hear, we need to pay attention to. Like when someone's preaching up here, like Kyle was preaching, if you didn't get anything out of that, that's because you weren't paying attention, or you just weren't comprehending what God was trying to tell you. You didn't have your heart right and ready for the message that was to receive it. And the third step, which is the one most people have a hard time completing, is determining to do right, just as Daniel did. It's amazing to me how so many people in the Bible have this great testimony for God, like David and Solomon, and yet they have some of the greatest downfalls. I have a few more passages that I want to turn to. I want to turn to Genesis chapter 39, verse 9. This is Joseph. Joseph is another great character in the Bible that had a righteous testimony. I can get to Genesis. And so and we're reading in verse 9. So Joseph's in the house of Potiphar, and he's been tempted with Potiphar's wife is tempting him, but Joseph is refusing. It says in verse number 9, he says, "There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" When we come to a decision in our life, and we're going to do right or wrong, we need to remember one thing, that when we do wrong, that it's not just, we might think it's beneficial to us, but it's not, just because it's beneficial to us doesn't mean that it's wrong to do something else, or it's downgrading to something else. Joseph said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He saw the negative and the sin instead of looking at the positive, what it might feel for himself, how it might feel. He saw how bad and wicked it truly was, and he decided that he wasn't going to do it. As Christians, when we are given a decision that we're going to do right or wrong, we need to see the great wickedness that we could do if we choose to do wrong, and how we can sin against God. It's amazing how Joseph determined to do right in this scenario. He had a great testimony when he was younger, and how he became second in command of Egypt, all because he had a great testimony, all because he purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself. I'm going to turn to another passage, Job chapter 1 and verse 21. Job is probably my favorite character in the Bible besides Jesus, of course, because it was amazing that he lost everything that he had, but he stayed faithful to God. I'll read verse 1 real quick. "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect," and that means blameless, "and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." And I want to look in verse number 21. After God had allowed Satan to take everything from him, everything that he held dear to himself, he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I love the testimony of Job. I've read through Job many times. I've read many books on Job. It's probably my favorite book in the Bible. It's so inspiring to me that how I can be so complaining about the great things that God has blessed me with. But when it came to Job had lost everything except his life, that he stayed faithful to God and was thankful to God. He didn't complain. He didn't charge God foolishly. He didn't say, "God, why have you done this to me?" He said, "God has given to me, and God has taken away," because he has the authority to do so. And we need to see that in our lives. And I also want to point out that God didn't forsake Job. If you see at the end of the book, that God gave him back everything that he had lost and more. It's amazing how God didn't forsake Job, even though he may have seen that he was forsaken. But God didn't forsake him, and he allowed him to prosper just because of his righteous testimony. We as Christians have to determine that no matter what happens or what comes, that we are going to stay faithful to God and His Word. But we have to determine it now and truly purpose in our hearts, just as Daniel did, that we are not going to defile ourselves with the temptations and sins of the world. How is your testimony tonight? Is it pleasing to a righteous God in an unrighteous world? Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael all had a testimony that was pleasing to God in a wicked nation like Babylon, where everyone else was going to do wrong. They determined that they were going to do right, and they purposed it before. I hope tonight that our testimonies are pleasing to God. We all do it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful day that you've given to us. I thank you for allowing us to come into your house tonight. I thank you for giving us the words to speak. I pray, Lord, that you would just be with the rest of the service, be with the rest of our night. Lord, I just pray that you just help us all to have a righteous testimony, Lord, and that we'd help all honor and glorify you in all that we do. In your wonderful and precious name I pray. Amen.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.